Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Wholehearted worship in praise to God. What does that look like? Isn't that an important and relevant question, dear friends, especially also in our day? Furthermore, it's a question we can answer from our text in 2 Chronicles chapters 29 to 31. Coming back to our series that we started on King Hezekiah a couple weeks ago, as we now begin this second sermon on King Hezekiah, just a word about 1st and 2nd Chronicles as books in the Bible. These two books are like a revised, updated version, you might say, of some of the history of Israel as given in 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings. Most scholars believe 1st and 2nd Chronicles was compiled by Ezra, and that he wrote it to be read and guided by, especially for the post-exilic generation of the Jews, those who returned from Babylon after the destruction of Jerusalem, as told to us in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah and Malachi. What is noteworthy about this all is the clear emphasis in 1st and 2nd Chronicles on the true and faithful worship of God, and the upholding of the line of the kings of Judah as sons of King David. 1st and 2nd Kings focuses much more on the political and military matters in the history of Israel and Judah, whereas the two books of Chronicles emphasize much more living in true devotion and worship before the Lord, and how that counts above everything else in all of life. As noted already in the first sermon a few weeks ago, this was a key point for Hezekiah, wasn't it? To restore and go back to the true worship of God. But now the author of Chronicles, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, he surely reinforces this point, stressing for his generation and all up-and-coming generations how crucial that we worship the Lord, the one true God, in spirit and truth, according to His will and His word. Who and how we worship, dear friends, always has direct influence on how we live and what we live for, and how blessed our lives become before God and our neighbor. When we have straight this matter of worship and are doing it in a God-honoring way. To help us with this now then, going through chapters 29 to 31 of 2 Chronicles, today's text, let us see from Hezekiah that wholehearted worship to God's praise means at least the following. For one, it means eager worship. Eager worship. Where do we get the idea Hezekiah worshipped eagerly? Just listen to 2 Chronicles 29, verse 20. The setting is, Hezekiah had called the priests and Levites to open the temple again, after his father, wicked King Ahaz, had boarded it up and closed the doors. And they were to clean the temple, clean it all out, getting rid of the idol trash and trinkets in there, and to sanctify the instruments for worship. It took more than 2 full weeks to clean it all up and make the house of God ready again for godly worship. And when it was all finished and Hezekiah gets informed about it, what do we read in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 29? Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. That little phrase, rose early, speaks volumes of him being most eager for the true worship of God. In Hezekiah's case, that true worship of God hadn't taken place, possibly for decades, years and years. I imagine Hezekiah almost running to meet for true worship, and being so thankful the temple doors were open again, and praying as he went, Lord, please bless us as we seek again to worship you in spirit and truth. Bless all involved, and may your name be praised, God of our salvation, Lord God of hosts. Do you identify with worshiping God eagerly. Whenever and wherever you worship, coming to God's house with eager and even holy, happy anticipation of meeting in a special way with God and His people. What eagerness we see our world have with major sports competitions in hockey, baseball, basketball, golf, and so on. But surely, that much and so much more eagerness ought to be demonstrated in the far more significant matter of true worship of God and every detail of such worship services. Are you eager to go to church for worship? Wholehearted worship of the one true God involves eager worship. Will you be convicted and challenged by this first point even? Notice the second detail of wholehearted worship of God that just jumps out from the text in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 21 and following. And that is, wholehearted worship is always also repentant worship before God. Repentant worship. The text tells about many offerings of animals sacrificed as sin offerings and burnt offerings before the Lord. King Hezekiah led the people in confession of grievous sins and sinfulness before God. And we are told in verse 34, the priests were too few so that they could not flay, that is, skin and cut up all the burnt offerings given in humble, repentant worship and devotion to the Lord. We learn, too, that even in their restored worship, there were aspects of it not quite in order, especially with the Passover celebration, as told in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 17 to 20. And there was reason to ask for forgiveness, even for their sins in worship, which pardon the Lord also gave graciously, as stated in verse 20. Do we, you and I, have any idea how much we can be guilty of sin, even in our most holy activities? Do you go to church always with a repentant heart before the Lord? You understand the question is for myself as well. Isn't there endless reasons for us to be repentant every day and every week and Sunday again? Who of us is not guilty of sin and shortcoming in thought, word, and deed, more than we can ever tell or know even, before the all-knowing, all-seeing, infinitely holy God? Wholehearted worship to God's praise is time and again repentant worship before the Lord. Isn't there reason for the prayer, Lord, revive us in wholehearted worship of God in our times, worship that is eager and repentant before you? In connection with this point, notice next how wholehearted worship and praise to God, our text shows, is God-directed and Christ-focused worship. God-directed and Christ-focused. We read of countless offerings, as I already mentioned, being given, which all were in view of the promised once-for-all Savior from all sin, and His once-for-all sacrifice for sin, with the shedding of His blood on the cross of Calvary. The blood of animals could never atone for sin, but those sacrifices pointed always and again to the promised Messiah, with whom can be found plenteous redemption of all sin and full redemption by God triune, now and forevermore, even for the chief of sinners, who comes in repentance and faith before the Lord. True worship is all about exalting God as Creator God and God of providence and God of our salvation, the one from whom all blessings for good do flow for us in and through Jesus Christ the Lord, the great Son of David. He is the one who the people in Hezekiah's time were still looking to come as promised, and whom we today may look back to as having already come, yes, in and with Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified and now risen and forever exalted Redeemer King over all. How good and gracious to be reminded of this, dear friends, namely that true worship is especially and essentially God-focused, Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-dependent worship. How much worship today is more self-directed, even so-called Christian worship, more self-directed and man-honoring. The front of the church then also becomes architecturally designed to be as a stage for all kinds of man-pleasing performances, rather than for the pulpit front and center for the proclamation of God's Word. The Book of Chronicles for the post-exilic Jews was like an updated revision of the earlier books, with the earnest point, be sure to be particularly God-focused and Messiah-minded in the worship of the Lord, or it is not true worship at all. It is striking in this regard how often in 2 Chronicles chapters 29 to 31 there is stated about worship that they wanted to worship in a God-honoring way, not according to their ideas, but as commanded by Moses and David and Gad, the king seer, and Nathan the prophet, and as was the commandment of the Lord by the prophets. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 25. God help us especially, also in our times, not to give in to the whims and ways of the world in worship, but to be and remain faithful in true worship, distinguishing aright always with God's word as our guide, what that means and includes, and what it doesn't mean too. Another detail of such wholehearted worship you can't miss as you read about the restored and renewed worship in King Hezekiah's time is that such worship of the one true God is clearly joyful worship. Joyful. It is neither boring nor sad, but the most joyful and delightful. For proof of this, look at verse 30 of 2 Chronicles 29. We read there, "And they sang praises with gladness." And then in verse 36 we read, "And Hezekiah rejoiced at all the people." They rejoiced for the privilege, you see, of holy and happy worship of the one true God. And that God led them to this, to turn from the idol gods to the one true God in praise and honor to Him. That God brought them back to this, filled them with humility and with thanksgiving. Listen also to chapter 30, verse 21. There we read, in connection with keeping the Passover feast once again, along with the seven-day feast of unleavened bread following. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments, or instruments of strength, unto the Lord. Verse 25 likewise states, "And all the congregation of Judah, and all the congregation of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, and that dwelt in Judah, rejoiced." So there was great joy in Jerusalem. And finally, to prove beyond measure how delightful, joyful, wholehearted worship before God is, notice with me what is said in verse 23 of 2 Chronicles 30. "And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. And they kept other 7 days with gladness." Can you believe it? The people altogether were so joyful and glad in wholehearted worship that they decided to do it a whole week longer. Wow! Oh, that all church people and confessing Christians would so delight in worship in our day. Unfortunately, we can hardly get people to come to church on the Lord's Day. And certainly not regularly, and certainly not twice, as used to be the case. David in Psalm 84 testified, "He would rather be a day in the courts of God's house than 1,000 days in the tents of wickedness." Behind this all is, of course, the gospel truth. God is so great and greatly to be praised. And His love and care for His people is so gracious, so good, and so kind and purposeful and rich and eternal and complete. Happy are all who have the God of Jacob for their refuge and strength, and for their consolation and hope, and who live in wholehearted worship before Him. Not only should we worship on the Lord's Day, but all our lives should be worshipful unto our God. If already in the Old Testament age people were called to worship the Lord with joy and thanksgiving, how much reason isn't there for God's people so to worship in our New Testament age, under the full revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ now, and with all 66 books of the Bible, both Old and New Testament. In the words of Psalm 122, "Let us be glad when we may go up to the house of God and worship. Let us be glad." From the text passage, we learn not to be glad should convict us. Where is our heart? From the text passage we learn that two factors also further explaining the joy in wholehearted worship in Hezekiah's time is that the people were united in worship, for one. Let no one ever think lightly about promoting sinful tension within the church and body of Christ. Here there were people from the area of what was Israel, and people from Judah, and people from the surrounding areas, all involved in joyful, harmonious worship of God. Many times in the history of the Christian church, sinful disunity developed, not to God's honor and praise. Oh yes, there must be a break in fellowship when a congregation will no longer submit to God's word above all, and will instead follow the ways of the world and sinful man. But as much as possible, says Paul in Romans 12:18, we are called to live peaceably with all men. What a joy to be part of a Christian congregation where this is found by God's grace and Spirit, a holy, humble, joyful harmony in the unity of the faith in Christ Jesus and His Word, the great and glorious Savior God, supreme over all. Saying that, we come also to another clear detail of wholehearted worship before God, and that is, such worship is prayerful worship. Prayerful. Except the Lord build the house, all our labors and services and activities, also in wholehearted worship, are but in vain. You can plan for the worship, you can prepare for it, but if the Lord doesn't bless it, it will be of no use. Do you pray for the triune God's blessing on the worship services and all involved? Do you pray every time again, Lord, be merciful to us and visit with us for Jesus' sake? We read in verse 29 of 2 Chronicles 29, and when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. And again at the end of verse 30, and with all the singing and praising too, they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then notice at the end of chapter 30, in verse 27, we read, then the priests and the Levites arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his, that is, up to God's holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. You see, there was prayer in and throughout their worship, and no doubt prayer before and after their worship. Are you prayerful in this way too, dear friends? Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We read in the book of James this rebuke given to the followers of the Lord, you have not because you ask not. Oh, let us pray, pleading God's promises for revival and reformation in our churches, in our day, across this country, and throughout the world. Pray for a mighty stirring of the Holy Spirit, so blessing the word read and preached and studied that people are convicted and transformed and reformed and made living lights for God and good while it is yet the day of grace. Pray for God's blessing that through the word Christ Jesus may be exalted as only Savior and that many may be drawn to Him for their salvation. Let us pray that God so bless us in worship that all sin becomes so sinful and abhorrent to us and that Christ becomes so supremely precious to us and that this world and all in it become more a place we live in temporarily and are not attached to in our hearts, but that the world to come be something we have always more in view and look more and more forward to. Let us pray God so to bless the gospel call and the seriousness of it and the urgency of it, that not only we ourselves believe it wholeheartedly, but that also we cannot but speak of it to others as God yet gives us opportunity. The early church thrived and rejoiced in worship and was filled with the Holy Spirit and missionary zeal, not without much prayer. Wholehearted worship involves this, being prayerful in worship and for worship and prayerful to be prayerful in spirit and truth. Living in these perilous evil days as we do now, isn't there reason to call upon the Lord to come down by His Word and Holy Spirit and to bless us thoroughly and to make us a blessing truly in His grace and mercy in and by Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinners. Here, listen to still another detail of wholehearted worship that so comes out in our text passage. Wholehearted worship is also evangelistic, missionary-minded worship, clearly. Evangelistic, missionary-minded worship. We see that in our text passage in the first part of 2 Chronicles 30, where we are told about posts and letters being sent out to all Israel and Judah to come for the special time of Passover worship. King Hezekiah, you see, would reach to that area even where the Israelites had been conquered, and whoever might be left there yet, he would call them still to come. And it was a strong, gentle urgent plea made to all who received the letter and invitation from him, as we read in verses 8 and 9 of 2 Chronicles 30. Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves, literally give the hand unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you, if ye will return unto him. Oh, what kind reaching out with the gospel! What a post, what a mailing, what an invitation this was! And surely, wherever there is wholehearted worship of God found, there is also something of this evangelistic outreach, and warm-hearted, earnest missionary zeal becomes present then. Because God's people know, on the one hand, not only is it most wonderful to seek and serve the Lord in spirit and truth, but it is most awful and terrible when we refuse to do so, and when we will live instead and die in our sins. In that regard, isn't it most sad too? We read about how all too many responded negatively to the gospel invitation and call to come and worship the one true God in spirit and truth. In verse 10b of chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles, we read of those who responded by laughing to scorn those royal horsemen with their gospel invitations to come to the house of God. They laughed them to scorn and mocked them, the text says. Oh, how sad and tragic, how wicked and fearful so to respond to the call to seek and serve the Lord and to come and worship the one true God, to come under his word. Does anyone listening sometimes shrug off with scorn and mockery the call to come to worship the one true God? Will you just shut the door on him? Jesus speaks in Matthew 22 about a wedding feast and how when the invitations were sent out, for all things were ready, that some made light of it. That is, they made light of it because they were preoccupied with so much else. Jesus tells us, preoccupied with all lesser and temporary matters at best. And so they wouldn't heed the invitation. How infinitely sad that is, and with what terrible eternal consequences if people will so live and die. Oh, that people would realize this. May none of you hearing this message be indifferent to God's call, also now still today, even through this radio message, to come and worship the one true God. May all of us be faithful ourselves in worshiping the Lord, and then also reach out to others to do the same. May God bless us and make us a blessing, that those around us who make light of the gospel call might become convicted of their sins and be drawn to the Christian church to meet the Lord and to come under his word and to be converted unto God, all to the praise of his grace and glory in Christ Jesus. Wholehearted worship includes compassion and zeal for the unsaved wherever they are. Clearly the worship in Hezekiah's day, their wholehearted worship of God, was warmly, earnestly, humbly evangelistic. Altogether we can say it was worship that led to further fruits in the people's lives, and living for God and fighting sin and being focused on the increase and ongoing ministry of the church and kingdom of God. And this brings out another detail we can say of wholehearted worship, evident in the text, namely, it is fruitful worship, fruitful worship. Here, notice with me two particular fruits mentioned in chapter 31 of 2 Chronicles. One, the people worked more heartily and extensively, we are told, destroying all and any remaining images and altars and groves of false idolatrous worship that were still present in the land. 2 Chronicles 31 verse 1 states this most strongly. The people worked hard to remove the way of idolatrous worship. And two, the people gave freely and regularly of their first fruits for the temple sacrifices and the support of the priests and Levites ministering in God's name in the temple. So they gave freely of their resources and of their time for the promotion of the true worship of God, even as they worked hard to destroy all ways of false worship. So much was given from their first fruits, from their faithfully tithing and giving beyond even, that we read in verses 5 and following of chapter 31, there were heaps and heaps brought in, and new quarters had to be built even to store all the provisions for the house and ministry of the Lord. What a beautiful problem that is. But where there is wholehearted worship of God, dear friends, this becomes more common, that the people give gladly and readily and regularly and abundantly. What does our giving to the Lord say about us, you and me? Are we evidently, wholeheartedly worshiping the Lord? And is that reflected in our giving, like in our text passage in 2 Chronicles? Someone has said, when the heart is converted, the purse is inverted. And how often that is true. Well, I need to conclude, and I do so with stating yet this last point about the characteristics about wholehearted worship of God. And that is, it is most blessed worship. To prove that now, listen yet to what is said of Hezekiah. In summary, in verses 20 to 21 of 2 Chronicles 31, we read there, after these chapters about the revival of wholehearted worship in his time and under his direction, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, promoted wholehearted worship of God, that is, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began, in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and prospered. Oh yes, do you hear? God blessed him, and made him a blessing to many, even as King Hezekiah lived by God's grace, restoring the true worship of God, and urging for wholehearted worship before him by all the people, and for more and more, so to live and die. The true worship involving, by God's grace and Spirit, eager worship, repentant worship, God-exalting, Christ-centered worship, joyful worship, prayerful worship, evangelistic worship, fruitful worship, and blessed of God worship. Oh, that there might be a revival and restoration of such true and thriving worship of God triune in our day, in our 21st century, and so others may tell, during each week after every Sunday, we have met with Jesus. And worship him, and our lives are above all focused and devoted on him, the one and only Savior of sinners, and that more and more should come to know him and be his followers. Come, praise him, ye that fear the Lord, ye children of his grace, with reverence sound his glories forth, and bow before his face. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.